Welcome to Missionary Talks, where we talk with missionaries and learn about their lives and work. Today we're talking with Larry Allred, missionary in Yucatan, Mexico, in the city of Merida. Let me ask you where you're from and a little bit about yourself as we get started.
Well, I'm from Decatur, Alabama. I lived there for about 30 years of my life, and we've now been missionaries for 10 years. We've actually been in Mexico for 8. We were in Monterrey for a year and a half, and we've been serving here in Merida for 6.5. I'm married, got a wife named Tammy, and I have 4 boys, and we had all 4 of our boys right before coming to the mission field, so we brought them into the field when they were 2, 4, 6, and 8, and now they're 19, 16, 15, and 12.
You went to Monterrey before you came here. Were you there for language school? Why were you there just a short time?
Well, actually, what we did is, after deputation and raising the support that we needed to get raised, we went to Edinburgh, Texas, and went to language school there for 1 year. And after we finished the year program, then we went into Monterrey to work with a veteran missionary, actually just to get our feet wet. So as soon as the Lord was ready for us to move on and start a work to where we could actually communicate, do the reading, preaching and teaching in Spanish, that's really when our ministry started. And it took us a good year and a half to be to that point.
And why did you choose to come to Merida? What was the draw here?
Well, that's a very good question, and I always enjoy sharing that because, you know, I didn't even know that Merida existed. I didn't even know anything about the Yucatan, even when I was in Monterrey. When we were in Monterrey, we were actually planning to go to Veracruz. What happened was, is during that year and a half, the last year, I had a map of Mexico right up over my desk where I was continuing to do my preparations. And as I look at the map, I was just praying and asking God, you know, what would He have us to do? And we're really excited about getting a church established. And we really wanted to establish a church that we could train the national to be pastors and missionaries. And so I'm looking for key people in a key city. And so that's really what started this drive. And as I'm looking on my map, the Lord kept putting in my mind, well, there's Merida sitting way out there in the south. It's the largest city in the Yucatan Peninsula, over 1 million people. It's the capital city of the state of Yucatan. And as I'm looking at this city, the Lord just keeps burning my heart, you know, why don't you check out this city? And so it did take a long time. And it was a burden from the Lord. And actually, when I come to Merida, I came with the assistant pastor just to check out the city, pretty much determined that this is where I was coming before I ever saw the place.
What is your ministry here? You've got a church. You mentioned a Bible Institute earlier when we were talking. What's kind of your focus of ministry here and the future that you would like to go towards with this ministry?
Well, we've asked God to give us 30 years plus here in Merida. What we want to do here is we want to build a strong base that financially can support pastors and missionaries. We want to train them. We have a discipleship program that we're running through right now. This discipleship program takes 2.5 to 3 years for our regular members. Then we have a discipleship 2 program, which will go for another year to year and a half. And we're already putting together the seminary, which looks like it's going to be approximately 5-year seminary. And our desire is to train the nationals to have a walk with the Lord, to not just have some knowledge and some doctrine, but to be mature, have a walk with the Lord, that they can go out from here, that we can send them out, and hopefully we can send 10 or 15 families with them and start a new work. And so if we can train the nationals, send them out, send members of the church out with them to start a new work, then we can help if we have a strong base to, one, financially help them build a building or rent or whatever we need to do. And on top of that, we're always here to help them as they stumble and as they work through things. So we want to be here for them more than just 3 or 4 years and cut them loose and take off somewhere else. And I'm really not wanting to sound negative towards, hey, that's a bad idea. I know many missionaries do that, and that's exactly how we started and plan on doing it. But God has just so happened to touch our heart to build a strong base here and start churches out of this church and try to start 2 or 3 at a time, but not so many that we can't financially help them to get stable and then move to another work. And that's what God's laid on our heart. And so our goal is right now is to prepare. And we have 3 young men in our church. Well, I say young men. One of them's 19. His parents, of course, backing the move very much so for him to be a missionary. We have another young man that just married our secretary last year. And he feels like God's calling him in a full-time ministry. And we have an older gentleman that's about 47, 48 years old that's married, and his children children about grown. And he came to me the other day and said he felt like God was calling him into full-time ministry. So we have three right now that we're already preparing to start in the seminary. They're excited about it. I'm excited about it. So we hope that's up and going here in a couple of years. But our desire first is to finish the discipleship one and two programs for that preparation. That's the base, the maturity, walking with the Lord, and looking at self-confrontation, our self-change, what we need to change about ourselves to have that walk and the maturity so that when those power punches come from Satan and when we get out there and hit a hard time, we're not scared and jumping all over. We've got a maturity about ourselves, and we take it with the Word of God and we move on. And so that's our goal, is to start churches, church planters, but from a base.
You started the church. How long ago did you start the church? And you mentioned supporting missionaries or pastors starting churches. Do you all already support some missionaries?
Yes, actually, when we came into this city about 6.5 years ago, we came in on Easter Sunday. And we started in our home, and our church grew from our family of six, my wife and I and four boys. Within about a year and a half, we had approximately 30 or so meeting in our home. And then we had the opportunity to purchase a building so that we could have church services. And now we've grown, and the Lord has just really blessed. And so we've been in this building now for 5 years. We just celebrated our five-year anniversary on September the 30th. We're really excited about what God is doing here. We got a lot of people, got quite a few guests and visitors coming in on a regular basis. We just had five baptized here just 2 weeks ago, and we're excited about that. And what's real exciting is I didn't baptize them. One of the members here did. God has blessed us with a wonderful assistant pastor. The growth is doing well. Right now we support 9 missionaries, most of all of them being Mexicans going to other countries. So we're really excited about our missions and what God's doing here. And we hope that we can send out missionaries from this church very soon, and we'll be supporting them as well.
Do you have a testimony of somebody that has impacted your life, or maybe your testimony that you would like to share with the listeners?
I get to share my testimony quite often, but there is one thing I would like to share. There's another missionary that really impacted my life personally, and this missionary is in Mexico, and in fact, I thought I'd be working with him. That was the intention. Back in 1987, in our home church had a missions trip planned, and I'd never been on a mission trip before, never been on a big plane, never went over a big body of water, and to me, going on a mission trip wasn't a, quote, mission trip, it was vacation. And I was excited about the opportunity of getting to go. And it was to Mexico, and it was to Veracruz. So I went to Veracruz on vacation, but while I was there, God broke my heart. And I'd just like to share with you what happened there one evening. This church was a fairly poor church that the missionary had started. There's two men that came up to me and offered to buy me an orange. I was just being kind, not really understanding the culture. And I just said, well, sure, I'd love to have an orange. Well, there was a man selling oranges on a cart, and he was pushing it across the road there in front of the church. And these two men ran out, and I noticed they put all the money that they had together to buy me an orange. I didn't realize just how poor the two men were, but they emptied their pockets for me to have an orange and brought it back to me. And I'm thinking, they don't even know me. I'm here for 1 week, coming in from another country, and they're standing there with their arms crossed with a smile on their face, so excited and pleased that they were able to buy this orange for me to eat. And so being the good American that I am, I'm going to eat the whole orange, you know, to make sure I don't waste any of it. Well, what that said to them was, he must want another one. And they started going throughout asking other people in the church for money to buy another orange. And God spoke my heart. And he said, you know, Larry, you've got enough money in your pocket to buy every single person in this church an orange if you wanted to, but you don't want to. And that broke my heart. And I came back home, submitted to the Lord to be a missionary, and God took 9 more years of my life, training me at home to learn to be faithful and to walk with him and to grow. And God gave me many opportunities to learn before we went off to raise our support and then go to language school. And, you know, we're looking at 1987, and now I've been on the mission field for 8 years, and this is 2006, almost 2007. So Don Rogers, if I can mention his name, he's a missionary that's been on the field for over 30-some years. And if I have my facts right, he's had a part in starting over 40-some mission works, and I think he's only built 3 buildings. But that's where I pretty much learned this philosophy. He told me the other day when I was talking to him that he said out of all of the churches that he's had a part in starting and all the ones he's trained through the seminary, I know he's gone through the seminary 3 or 4 times, only one has fallen out of ministry. And he says, Larry, you've got to focus on the spiritual. And don't worry about trying to go out and teach so much head knowledge. Make sure they're mature enough to digest it and to use it. And that's what has really given me my focus for the ministry. ministry here is let's don't go out and try to start a bunch of churches. Let's try to get, let's build people and send them out. And when they go out, let's stay with them and help them to establish a church. And when they run through the hard roads and highways, be there for them. And if that means 12 years, we're there for them until they say, okay, we're ready. And I hope and pray that when we leave, that the light doesn't flicker.
Do you have maybe an interesting fact about Mexico or about Merida, the Yucatan Peninsula, that you'd like to share?
Well, you know, I would say that the Yucatan and the Maya Indians here are very different than most parts of Mexico. A lot of times when you go from one major city to the next, they look so much the same. You don't see much change, even in the homes or the houses, maybe a little bit in their speech. You may find a little bit different dialect, but when you come to the Yucatan and work with the Maya Indians, you know, they're very much a closed people too. They're not real excited about outsiders coming in. And when I say outsiders, I'm talking about Mexicans coming in from Mexico City or coming in from Guadalajara or from Veracruz or places like that. They're very close to them. And one thing that I've noticed that the Maya Indians that live here, and if you go out into some of the villages, you can see a lot of their history that it continues on to this day. But the Maya language is a dying language. Most of their children, of course, speak Spanish, and they may not all speak Mayan. Many people that do speak Mayan don't read the Mayan. And even though there are some materials here in the Mayan language, they used to serve several gods, you know, corn god or rain god. And of course, now if you come to visit the Yucatan, especially if you go to some of the pyramids like Chichen Itza, you'll get to hear a lot of their history. But they're a people that is, they're humble. They're very tranquil. As you'll hear them say, we're very tranquilo, meaning that we're very calm and laid back. It's a slower pace here. But there are people that fought for their independence years ago and lost the battle. And they tried to separate from Mexico. You'll see that when you come here, the people are very different. They carry themselves differently, but they're very kind-hearted. That's pretty much what I've seen here. I'm still learning. You know, when I first come here, the language was not my strong point. And when you're still struggling with a language, there's so many things you miss, you just don't understand. So I'm just now really learning because I can communicate with the people, hear how they think, how they feel about things. And also here in Mérida, if I'm staying right here in this city, you would find that there's a great mix here. A lot of people that are coming from larger cities come here because you still have the large city feel. But what you don't have is the crime. This city for a million people is rated the lowest crime city in all of Mexico. And I find that kind of interesting.
Is there something that y'all have been able to do as a family here in Yucatan that's kind of interesting or different?
Oh, yes. You know, being a missionary is the best job in the world. There's so many opportunities that you have. Not only getting to meet so many pastors and churches throughout the U.S. when you're on deputation on furlough, but you're in a complete different world that many people never get to see. And one of those would be the cenotes here, what we'd call sinkholes. You know, they're underground rivers, and some of them may be no larger than 50 feet wide, but 175 feet deep, and they'll have a strong current underneath, and they're found underground. You'll just see a sinkhole, and you can go down sometimes 100 feet to get to the water, and you're in this big cave. And there's one that we like to go to. It's about 30 minutes away. There's three different cenotes, and they have ladders built and steps where you can go down them. It's real nice. But the way that you get to these is they have donkeys and horses tied to these carts that they'll take as many as 4 to 6 people at a time. And these carts are on miniature train tracks. And then you have this donkey that pulls you in that cart across, and all of a sudden here comes another cart coming your way on the same track. So everybody has to get off, and everybody has to heave ho and take this cart off and set it off onto the ground on the side, let the other horse and cart come through, and then of course whichever the biggest party, of course, is the one that gets off and hurdles the cart, you know, because there's more people to carry the cart off. And so you have to get it and adjust the cart and pick it up in the air and set it on the tracks again and get it adjusted and then hook the horse back up to the cart. You're out in the middle of the woods. You see a hole no bigger than 4 feet around, and you go into this hole and then look, and I declare if it's not 300 feet round inside, and you get into the clearest water and you can see 20 and 30 feet deep below you. So there's stalactites and things you can climb on and jump off into these cenotes. And how many people get to do that? You know, that's just one of many things. things that God has blessed us with being able to do.
Very good. Well, thank you for your time, Brother Larry. It's been nice talking to you a little bit and getting to know you a little bit better.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share, and I hope that our testimony and our time together today will be a blessing to many of the listeners, and I hope it'll encourage them also to take a missions trip. It can change your life.
You've been listening to Missionary Talks with David Peach. Please visit us at missionarytalks.com.